People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free rolled food. It's protein-packed with less risk of food sensitivity.
Blog Talk Radio.
Last night I saw a lunar eclipse in the sky. Then something happened in my mind's eye. I saw you in a whole different light. Clearly, really, it's not that I want you to change. It's more that I want you to stay the same.
Oh, and I really do want you to stay the same. I want you to stay right here with me for the next hour. I'm Bonnie D. Graham, a.k.a. Radio Red on a sunny day. Wow, am I Radio Red. Nice to have you here. My little corner of the world on Monday nights is Read My Lips Radio. It just has a nice ring to it, but you know what? It's radio. You can't see my beautiful red lips. As my engineer used to say, Bonnie's ocean blue eyes and her bee-stung red lips when I was at WGBB on Long Island. Now it's the internet and you can't see me at all. However, I want you to listen up. I'm going to introduce you to two very smart ladies who are passionate about their topics. They've each written a book. They have a message, diverse topics. You know, I never match guests from the first half to the second half on similar topics, and I always find some kind of a thread, a human thread, a story thread, a personal thread, a topic thread. There's always something that links the guests together, and that is yet to be determined today. So let me just give you a quick overview here. First up, we're going to be speaking with a lovely lady named Phil Macomber. I'm going to spell her last name so you can look her up, M-A-C-O-M-B-E-R. First name is Phil, P-H-Y-L. You know, the first four letters in the name, Phyllis, Phil Macomber. Macomber. She's calling from Vermont. We're going to talk about education, the status of education today. Whether you have young kids or not, you all went to school at some time somewhere, whether you were mainstream, whether you were or are special ed, whether you've known somebody in special ed. Is there a way to teach everybody with the same type of curriculum, the same methodology? Well, Phil Macomber is an education specialist. She's what's called an assistive technology specialist, and she has come out with a system called the Power of the PACT, P-A-C-T, Technology Helps Easy, that's T-H-E, PACT, Practical Adapted Curriculum Teaching. Sounds like a lot of big words, but we will explain it. It'll be interesting to those of you who perhaps have grandchildren in the school system or teenage children in the high schools. How did they learn? Did they get what they needed? And Phil's system is called the Cure for the Common Core. Common Core is an educational topic that is swirling around everywhere in the United States, and we'll get her take on why she needed to develop the Cure for the Common Core. You've got a common cold, maybe she can cure that too. Very interesting lady. We're going to talk a little bit about her mom. There's a beautiful dedication to her mother in the beginning of her book I want to share with you. Second half, we're going to talk to another lovely lady, also very committed and passionate on her topic. Her name is Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, middle initial H, Ware, W-A-R-E. And her book is Life is Your Song, Discover Your Voice. Reset your inner compass, understanding who you really are, understand who you really are, and find your place in the world. Tanya was a successful executive. She was raking it in. She was committed, dedicated, working umpteen hours a day and night in her job. She'll tell you what that was. She was also a recording artist, very committed to sharing her voice. She's involved with ministries, with the church. We're not going to talk religion because that's not what we do on Read My Lips. We're going to talk about her passion. And one day in December 2006, Tanya was basically, she collapsed. Everything came crumbling around her. And for almost 6 years, she was essentially housebound, almost bedridden. It would break the spirit of most people. She found a way to come out of it. And if I mention one very famous person, I'll tell you LL Cool J inspired her to break out of that depression cycle. Very interesting story. So Tanya is an expert in getting your life back, getting back on track, discover your own voice. Life is Your Song is her new book. And we're going to talk about how to fight depression and when life gets you down and really gets you down, how can you find your way out? She certainly did. She's a beautiful lady. And we're going to play a little bit of her singing. I have it all queued up for the show. Some quick announcements. Let's see here. It is, my goodness, is it really already October 19th? Tell me it's not. I don't know where the year has gone. Famous people with birthdays today. How about Evander Holyfield, the heavyweight boxing champion, born in 1962. Jennifer Holliday, the actress, 1960. Let's see who else. Divine, 1945. Jeannie C. Riley and John Lithgow. They could be, well, I don't know. They could be cousins or brother and sister. They could be twins. They were born today also, 1945 on October 19th. Peter Tosh born today. His real name was Winston McIntosh? Seriously? Peter Max, the pop artist. Robert Reed, the actor. I won't give you the years. John Le Carré. Let's see what we've got here. Robert Beatty, the actor. Charles Merrill, the stock company mogul, born in 1885. Don't send him a birthday card. It's way too late. I saw The Bridge of Spies, Tom Hanks' new movie. If you remember the Francis Gary or Gary Francis Powers U2 spy mission and all of the back and forth with Russia and Germany trying to release and trade a couple spies, don't look back in history. Go see the movie and enjoy it as though it's fiction, but it's real. Tom Hanks is stellar in the movie. Some other great actors as well. Really enjoyed it. Gripping movie, edge of your seat, what can I tell you? And a shout-out to my beautiful family, you know who you are, and to our most loyal listener, lovely, lanky Laura. Laura, thank you for always listening and sending me your comments on my guests every single Monday night. So let's get going. It's time to power up with the power of THE, the PACT, P-A-C-T. Happy to welcome my first guest, Phil T. Maycumber. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bonnie. I'm very excited to be here.
Excited to have you. And this is an interesting topic for us to tackle because I usually talk about self-help and relationships, and we're going to talk about bringing your life back together from a terrible downfall like Tanya Ware has unfortunately experienced. But we're talking about a very specific topic with you, Phil, the cure for the Common Core. Why don't you just give us a little overview in your own words of what is Common Core? Why is it so controversial? Should we start there and then we'll talk about what you've done?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Bonnie. You know, in American education right now, the Common Core standards are pretty controversial. And what they are, they're a set of standards that really have children not just having a common body of knowledge in education, regardless of where they live, but more specifically a common skill set. So I could have a student that moves from Long Island to Vermont, for example, and they're held to the same type of things in kindergarten if they were in kindergarten in Long Island as they would be in Vermont. And that's the wonderful part of the Common Core standards. But then a lot of problems started popping up, and there's two real specific problems that really give people a lot of confusion at the core of the Common Core. Could I talk about those two problems real quick?
Yeah, please, go ahead. I want to learn from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, problem number one is, you know, teachers have felt that they're really not equipped to teach these Common Core standards of these skills necessarily in days filled with multiple things to do and not really enough time to do them. You know, every year teachers start the school year off by saying, this year's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And then with each week that passes by, they enter their classrooms. And honestly, Bonnie, they're just simply trying to keep their heads above water. Mm-hmm. And they often have like this incredible amount of information in an unrealistic and impossible amount of time. And they're really feeling underappreciated and not really feeling like they're making a difference. And then the second problem is because we are having an increase of inclusion of our children in special education, much more in the classroom, which I'm very much in favor of, that I am now finding that many of the classroom teachers really don't know how to reach and teach these Common Core standards to this population at all.
So in other words, what you're saying, Phil, if I hear you correctly, is that we no longer have, okay, this classroom down the hall is for special ed for developmentally or mentally challenged students in some way who are not at the level, quote unquote, of mainstream. We used to call them mainstreaming, I believe. So you're saying that
right.
they are being included in the classroom. That must be hugely challenging for a teacher if you have a very bright student who is basically on an, let's say a sixth grader who's on a potential AP track for advanced placement in their middle school and high school years, and you've got a student who can barely read their alphabet or get through a fourth grade reader in the same classroom because of their age. How does the teacher cope with that? Is Common Core supposed to cure that?
Well, Common Core has created a lot of confusion around that because those
mm-hmm.
students, regardless of ability, are all tied to the same grade-based standards. So you could have those diverse students that you just described that really are accountable to those standards, and that teacher needs to reach and teach each of those kids in the general education classroom. And
that's impossible,
so
Phil. You can't do that in the course of a day. How would you possibly give each student or each segment of students in your classroom enough time to have them all excel at their potential level? How does that happen or not?
You know, in the past, our students in special education, when they spent time in the general classroom, typically would be off in the corner. They'd be doing something
mm-hmm.
so different than what the other kids were doing in the classroom.
Yeah.
And basically that was called token inclusion, Bonnie. And meaning they were in there for the socialization, but they really weren't accessing their grade-based curriculum at a level that they could really understand. Because I always explain to our classroom teachers and to our special educators, we just don't need to differentiate down to our students below grade level, but we also need a system that could also differentiate up to those students that are above grade level and then hit every student in between, even our English language learners that are in the classroom. And so I was brought in to help teachers learn really how originally to instruct the children in their classroom that were enrolled in special education in the Common Core in their classroom so that they made activities very meaningful for them at their grade level to be able to mm-hmm. access what was going on in the classroom so that they were doing similar activities at their level based on what the other kids were doing. And I really was able to do that because my area of specialization, since I completed a fellowship at Johns Hopkins, oh boy, way back in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in the field for over 27 years. And I originally was in the field of special education. And so I shared with classroom teachers lots of ways to impart this skill set to those kids enrolled in special education in the classroom. And I taught them hundreds of strategies of how to what we call differentiate. So how do we differentiate up? How do we differentiate down and be able to deliver the Common Core on any subject, whether it was science, social studies, math, English language arts, and also social communication, because so many social skills are also taught in the classroom. And,
of course.
You know,
and what grade level, Phil, I want to interrupt you for a second. What grade level are we talking about? Where were you doing this instruction?
I was doing this instruction in preschools all the way through 12th grade, but then also in the school-to-work programs. Yeah, so you know how we will have our students, like by law, our students can access education until their 22nd birthday if they're enrolled
mm-hmm.
in special education. So lots of our learners in those school-to-work programs learning vocational skills for job training were also using the program called the PACT that I've authored, which is research-based. And, you know, I always say in a school system, you need to do something that is doable to do in a really busy day. And, you know, I relate to the teachers because I spend a significant amount of time modeling teaching strategies by actually being in the general education classroom and not just talking
mm-hmm.
about the good ideas, but really walking the walk of teaching these classes. And, you know, Bonnie, I have to tell you, the teachers were really thrilled to learn these strategies, but then they came back to me and they said, you know, Phil, these strategies that you're teaching me to use with our students in special education are not just working with them. They're working with all the kids, not just our students that are struggling. And that was a very fascinating for me as feedback.
Phil, it sounds like it was a proof of concept of something you weren't trying to prove. Am I right?
That's a really good way to put that, Bonnie. Yeah, and you know, after seeing this work effectively for team after team and grade after grade in what I call bridging the gap between special education and general ed, I really believe that what people are saying is true, that it's the cure for the Common Core because it can work with everyone, and teachers are enjoying teaching again and reducing their lesson prep time, and we're seeing kids eager to learn regardless of their ability, and the teachers feel like they're making a difference.
Interesting. And Phil, I want to, as I mentioned in my intro, I want to talk a little bit about your dedication to your mom. But before we go there, I want to continue this thread. I'm reading, and thank you so much for sending me your beautiful book. It's a hard copy bound, huge book, and just beautifully done, beautifully in color photographs and diagrams. I was very impressed. It's just a real work of art, and I know a work of passion for you. But I want to talk a little bit about, so people can understand what your system is, and I'm looking at four components here: learn about, read about, write about, talk about. Can you briefly tell us how that is? Is that the guts of what you call the pact? Tell me.
It is the guts. Yeah, and these four steps, learn about it, read about it, write about it, and talk about it, are the vital four strands of the Common Core standards. And these are the four components that teachers are held to by the U.S. Department of Education to deliver in their classrooms on a daily basis. And the beauty of the pact is that you could use these four steps in a connect-the-dots teaching. You know, in the past, I've seen so many teachers just based on they're pressed for so much time, is one day they'll do a writing activity, and they may start a unit off with a writing activity, and then they take many steps backward, and then they teach vocabulary, and the kids are learning about it. And then they will have kids be put on the spot, so to speak, in the classroom, really talking about things that they really don't have a solid comprehension of yet. And now, instead, teachers are really going through this sequence of instruction because it's based on longstanding research of how our brain works, which basically is you need to teach things before you can test kids and ask them to share. So you teach before you test. So learn about or read about or build strong skills.
Revolutionary idea. We all know, we all remember times from middle school, used to be called junior high when I was there years ago, and from high school when you would be given a test on something that nobody had taught you, nobody had discussed with you. You were told to read a couple of chapters overnight and come in and take a test on that material. It was never discussed. It was never explained. It was never expanded. It was never applied. Okay, this is it. I remember it happened to my children as well, and they were both wonderful students. And it was very, very troubling. Can you take us through just a little bit of an example at any grade level, kindergarten, first, third, fifth, sixth, whatever, of one subject of how it would work practically, Phil, would learn about, read about, write about, talk about? Yeah, I'd love to hear that, please.
Sure. I was just recently in a third grade classroom, and we started the unit on the solar system. And for a month, that teacher was going to, in week one, have all different learn about activities based on the planets and other celestial bodies in space, for example. And so she did all vocabulary building types of activities to build real strong knowledge of that, along with important people in space like astronauts and astronomers. And then the next week they read about all of those concepts in what the Common Core calls more complex text, like in passages and with main ideas and details. And oftentimes, if you start at that level, the kids don't always know what all the words mean in those paragraphs and main ideas and details. So our teachers are really building that understanding of words in the prior step, in the learn about, so that when kids are accessing their books and their timelines and, you know, their sequence lists of different things, they really understand what these words mean, which means what? I call it like a bank account. They just deposit information in their brain. And then the next week, they're working on writing projects. So maybe they pick a planet that they need to write a report on. They build a model of that planet because the pact is all about multisensory, hands-on project type of learning to make things resonate and stick in your brain, so to speak. And then they might write a report about that planet. And they're working on that for a series of days. And then the following week, for example, they would be doing different talk-about activities. And talk-about is more training our students to be in a more formal speaking role, like in collaborative discussions in the Common Core, in stating opinions, and being able to give oral presentations. And these are all really important skills as we move forward just beyond our education. Right, Bonnie? Because, you know,
life
the way
skills.
The workplace,
Phil, you couldn't be more right. Life skills, being able to speak, express yourself, express a point of view, and have the confidence. And what you're describing to me, Phil, sounds like a system to give children confidence, because they're not just basically thrown into the deep end of the pool. Okay, write a report about XYZ. You've never heard about it. We're not telling you where to go. Do your homework. Come in and be able to give a lecture on it. Give me a break. So you're preparing them in a building block way, am I correct? So that by the time they have to speak about it, they have had some assistive training from the teacher. They've been in a supportive environment in the classroom. They know what they're doing. They understand the vocabulary, the concept. The teacher has imparted his or her knowledge, and the kids should be ready to venture out and use their own voice to describe what they learned and add their own POV to it. That just sounds so logical, Phil. Why did it take so long for somebody? Why were you the one to do this if it seems like, and you note this in your book, somebody said, gee, why didn't I think of that? What took so long? It was one of the writers in the intro to your book. What made you come to this? How did you? Do you just have an epiphany one morning? You woke up and you said, gee, this is the way it should always be done. I think I'll write a system called the PACT. How did it come to you?
You know, over the course of 27 years, I've trained and consulted with literally thousands of teaching staff. And Bonnie, I can really say that many of the same problems that existed way back when I got in the field back in 1988 really continue to exist in our system of education today. And I would look at teachers constantly reinventing the wheel. Now I'm going to teach, instead of the solar system, owls of North America. And then they scratch their head, almost like in a way to say, I wonder how I'm going to teach this unit. And then they move to magnets and electricity. And then they scratch their head and say, I wonder how I'm going to teach magnets and electricity. And I look at this and say, if you had a system for teaching anything that anchors your students to go about how they could learn anything, that is simple and basic yet comprehensive. I always say the PACT isn't snorkeling, it's scuba diving. Kids are really learning here, and we're not teaching to the test here. Kids, we're building true understanding for any subject area and any skill set. That's what I need in the field as a person who is an instructor. And I just looked at this and said, I think people are making this too hard. And ironically so, Bonnie, when the PACT was published, it was just on the heels of when the Common Core was being developed.
And people now have
come to me and said, Phil, it's interesting that all four components, learn about, read about, write about, and talk about, are all the four components of the Common Core. That was brilliant. And I said, actually, that was not done on purpose. Actually, the PACT came out really right before the Common Core came out. So if anything, it's validating of what we should be working on. But, you know, again, I think that the PACT takes the mystery of how to go about teaching to any student at any grade level. And, you know, Bonnie, you and I had talked originally when we had met that teachers are leaving the field in droves.
Yes, I was going to ask you, is this going to give them a comfort level? Is this going to be a way that new teachers will learn to teach that will want them to stay in the profession? So what have you observed?
Yeah, I have observed that. It's really helping them feel like that they could succeed, I guess is the best way to describe it, because they know how to focus their time, right, how to streamline their time, how to organize it, and then be successful at delivering curriculum. Because, Bonnie, I say to teachers all the time that as the skilled teachers that they are, each year they need to remember that their students don't know the content that they themselves know, like the back of their hand. Sometimes they forget what it's like to not know it and deliver it the first time, because they're such good teachers, even our early teachers, you know, that come into the field. And, you know, can I tell you a story about when I was a keynote at a conference? I was a keynote speaker at the Tools for Schools conference in New England. And it's a conference that brings a lot of educators together to teach them real practical tools. And I was the keynote for the PACT for the entire day to deliver that information. And you know how, like, in the morning at a seminar, they'll have a 10-15 break for, like, coffee and some snacks. And this woman comes up to me, and she had tears in her eyes. And she explained to me that she had intended to hand her letter of resignation in to her administrator at the end of the week because she was so burnt out from the dysfunctional system of education and reinventing the wheel over and over and over again.
Yeah. What and a shame.
It is a shame. And, you know, she told me that she had been in the field for more than 20 years, and she really had given up hope that she could really make a difference. And then she reached out, and she gave me a hug. And I always say, Bonnie, these are like defining moments. You know, that they say, I remember exactly when this happened and exactly how this woman was feeling and then how it made me feel. Because she hugged me, started crying, and then in front of me ripped up her letter of resignation and said,
oh,
she had learned about the PACT. She felt like she could make a difference again, and she believed. And that made me pause, you know, saying, wow, that's exactly the message and that I want to deliver. It's, you know, in the staff that I have trained across North America, both in Canada and the United States, people have said in a very nice way, you know, Phil, you've been so inspiring to me. And I say, oh, I'm so glad, but what I hope I did was carry it to the next step. I hope that I've empowered you, because the difference between inspiration and empowerment is, you know, inspiration like touches your heart and your soul, but empowerment takes that inspiration and puts it into a doable action plan. And that's what I want to give people. And that's what I think we're delivering here with the PACT framework.
Very important. Thank you for describing that, Phil. I want to bring up 2 points. One, we're going to get to your intro, your dedication to your mom. But before we do, we got 4 minutes. Tanya Ware, you got 4.5 minutes before we bring you on, so you please get ready, Tanya. I know she's waiting in the wings, probably putting on some gorgeous outfit she's going to sing for us, even though I have it all queued up. I know she's going to be doing it in her heart. Anyway, Phil, I've just looked up Google while we're talking. I know there's a big movement to teach children how to think, how to do critical thinking. What's your thought on how the PACT prepares students to be prepared to think? Do you think it's contributing to children understanding what it's like to think, as you said, independently and put their point of view on? Is this going to nurture that critical thinking skill?
It definitely works in specific critical thinking areas. You know, not just identifying problems, but having strategies for solutions. The PACT is a delivery system for instruction, and it teaches students strategies to learn by using consistent and predictable teaching methods. And so the students are really focusing on what they're learning and not really how they're learning it. So their big brain focus is on the content that they need to learn. But then it takes it a few steps further, because a big part of critical thinking is making decisions. So being able to weigh the pros and cons. And also, the other thing that we also really embrace in the PACT framework and really hit home to teachers is kids being honest with themselves through self-reflections. That, you know, for example, when they give a presentation, I teach them, what are the 3 things that you did well and what are the 3 things you would shape? In fact, I even wrote that in my book. That I go through this exercise on a daily basis, Bonnie. Every time I leave a school building or every time I finish one of my full-day seminars, I say, what were the 3 things I did well to make a difference? And what are the 3 things I would shape to make a better contribution next time? And we're actually bringing that mindfulness and that critical thinking into the classroom using the framework.
Thank you for that, and I just want to do a quick shout-out to your mom who left you on August 11, 2007. Her name was Bertha Gatia Totaro. I hope I pronounced that properly.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
what do you miss the most about your mom? It's a beautiful dedication, and I did not expect a personal dedication in a technical book like this. I was very pleased to see that. So give me just in your own words, we have 1 minute before we bring Tanya on. What are the? Give me the top three things, just three sentences, Phil, about what you miss most about your mom.
What I miss most about my mom is being able to talk with her and reflect through a problem, to be able to go to her and give her some pros and some cons, and for her to be able to say to me, you already know the answer, Petunia. That's what she used to call me. You just need to search in your soul for this. And I actually talk out loud to her when I'm trying to go through some decisions that I need to make. You know, in addition, it's the whole making a difference. In fact, my company is named to honor both my parents. My father passed away last fall. October is almost a year. October of 2014. And, you know, both my sister and I are adopted. And my parents said to me when I asked them why they adopted me specifically out of all the babies in the orphanage, and they said it was to make the difference. And they walked that walk every single day in terms of sacrificing for me and my education. And I say that not absent of emotion.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're crying together. Tears of joy. Listen, you. Let's give a website, and then I'm going to turn Tanya's mic on in just a couple of seconds. Tanya, get ready. And Phil, what website would you like people to go to read a little more about you and the Pact? Where would you like them to go?
Yes, they can go to aboutthepact.com. That's aboutthepact.com or thecureforthecommoncore.com.
Thank you. I didn't have to spell it tonight. You did it for me. Thank you so much, Phil Maycomber.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure speaking with you. You're such an articulate lady, and the passion is there, clearly. I'm sorry I made you cry, but I think it was with joy that you did and with graciousness.
It was with joy.
Thank you. And you know what? I'm going to turn on Tanya. Do not say a word, but your mic is live. Phil and I didn't rehearse this, but I think we're just going to have to take our chances and see if it works. So Phil Maycomber, on the count of three, we're going to do our best to say, welcome, Tanya Ware. Are you ready to give it a try, Phil?
I'm ready, Bonnie.
I know you were born ready. Here we go. One, two, three. Welcome,
Tanya
Ware. There we go. Tanya, welcome to the Bonnie and Phil We Tried Our Best show. How are you, Tanya Ware?
I am wonderful, and that was a pretty good welcome.
I won't say the old boys try, the old college try, the old girls, the young girls try. What can I say? Tanya, you've been listening so patiently, and thank you for hanging on for the first half hour while I spoke with Phil Maycomber. I'd love for you to chat with Phil. Anything resonated in her conversation with me, Tanya, that you're interested in, or anything intrigued you about her topic, her passion, her commitment, or her background, anything? So I'm just going to let the two of you do a little chat here. So, Tanya, why don't you speak to Phil? Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. I'm so excited about what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Tanya.
I wanted to ask you, with me being a mom of two girls that learn very differently, when you talk to these teachers and you train them in this new way of teaching, are they very open to it, or are you met with resistance? How has that been?
An excellent question. You know, I think that any type of forward movement requires change, right? And it's almost like an invitation to a party. I mean, some people get so excited about that party, and they say, wow, I wonder who I'm going to see there. I wonder what I'm going to learn. And then other people are like, oh, no, another party. And I think it's not because their heart's in the wrong place. I think it's because it's initiative after initiative after initiative. But I do have to say that once people start learning how this will benefit them, especially like from our research that we've done. We had research across North America in 18 different sites, and basically our results are kids are learning faster, and their instruction time is decreasing, and teacher
wow.
prep time is reduced. So that's in all 18 different locations, and hands down. And, you know, so I think that when people see that benefit, because, you know, it's always like, how is this going to help me do my job, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that then that gives you forward movement. Does that answer?
Thank you very much. Great answer and very inspirational. Phil, I'm going to ask you to hang on, and I will leave your line open. I'll bring you into the conversation with Tanya in about 15, 20 minutes, so hang with us, please. And thank you again for being my first guest, Phil T. Maycumber. Appreciate that. And Tanya Ware, welcome to Read My Lips. How are you today, Tanya?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, delighted. It's been such a long time since I met you and Phil at the National Publicity Summit. I think it was April 2015. I just came back from another summit 2 weeks ago, October, whatever it was, 15th,
wow.
I think I was there, or whatever, October 10th, I think. Anyway, it was very, very recently, and again, overwhelming response to people lining up to meet me and pitch my show. Tanya, I don't know whether to start with playing your music. I'm inclined to just play a clip from some of your new music or to talk about your story. So what would you prefer? Should we start with the music or the story? What's your pleasure?
You can do either one. I'm fine with you starting with the music.
Okay. So I'm going to play from your website. I'm going to give this out right now. It's Tanya Ware. Actually, the way it looks, interesting the way it spells out. It's basically Tony Aware. Did you know that, Tanya? That if you spell out Tanya Aware.
I never thought about that. That's
I'm looking
cool.
at it. TonyAware. TonyAware.com. So you could take on a whole different personality and never change your spelling of your name, but I digress. Cue this. What song are we listening to here? This is the one on your website. It's a 5-minute song. I'll play about, 40 seconds or so. So you want to tee us up? What song are we going to be listening to, Tanya?
Let's see. If you're on my website, it's probably the hit song, Put My Hand in Yours.
Okay, let's see if that's the one. I'm just going to put my phone real close to the speaker, and let's just enjoy a little bit of, here we go. Tanya, I'm going to stop it there. Just beautiful. Your voice is gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Thank you
what song
so
was
much.
It? Oh, thank you. Was
it's
this called My Hand
Put
in Yours?
My Hand in Yours.
Oh, just beautiful. And who wrote that? I think I know. Who was the writer of that song?
It was written by a writer named Marvin Winans from the famous Winans family out of Detroit, Michigan.
Just beautiful. You just did a beautiful job, and I have to tell everybody to go to your website and see the video. The voice is beautiful, and the video, it just left me in tears. Phil Maycumber, you want to cry, you go watch this video, and you'll see a family, and you'll see people hugging and crying, and you'll see Tanya sitting in these gorgeous clothes singing from her heart. So, Tanya, thank you for letting me share that. Now, Tanya Ware, you had it all, lady. You had a successful corporate job, 12 years. You were in the what we call the secular sector. You were selling. You were a producer. And then you and your husband decided to produce your debut album, Tanya Ware, The Voice. What a beautiful title, because you do have the voice. Now, one day you woke up, bing, bang, boom, flat on your back. What happened to you, Tanya? Can you tell us the medical diagnosis? I'd like to know a little more about what happened that day in December 2006. So go ahead.
So I got up in late December 2006 to get dressed to actually go into the studio to record that song. Was the day that I was scheduled to record the song that became my hit record, Put My Hand in Yours. And I went into my master bathroom to get dressed and collapsed with cardiac arrest. I didn't know I was sick. I didn't know I had any heart issues, that I was dealing with autonomic dysfunction or challenges with seizures and problems with irregular heartbeats and things of that nature. The day before, everything was normal. I felt really good. Mm-hmm. And woke up that morning, and in just a matter of moments, everything in my life changed. And I was miraculously revived, but went through a series of doctor's appointments and tests and medical exams with my local cardiologist, as well as with doctors with the Mayo Clinic, and was diagnosed as totally disabled at 38 years old. And my life completely changed in that moment. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And here you are talking to me today, but it was a really rough, tough, depressing, off-the-track 6 years that intervened from 2006 to 2012. Now, talk to me about being revived. Did your husband find you? Was he the one who brought you, literally brought you back to life? Because you mentioned in your book, you were gone. You were out for the count.
I was gone.
So did you were gone.
I remember feeling just nauseous, right? Nauseous, like I was going to be sick. Just a few moments before I lost consciousness, and I remember saying his name, calling Adrian, and I could hear him praying for me in the distance. But then I don't remember anything after that. I literally could feel my spirit leaving my body, and I knew I was gone, and I didn't have time to say anything, to pray, to think anything, but he tells me that he prayed his most urgent prayer that day, and I revived, and it was actually closer to 7 years that I was confined and could not work. I still haven't driven since 2007 because of the diagnosis that I have, and at the time I was having multiple seizures and blackouts and issues like that as well, in addition to the heart issues. But I was working 16 to 18 hours a day, not because I was trying to make a certain amount of money, but because I just really loved my job. I loved what I was doing. I was a retirement investment planner for school systems and for teachers. And so I worked with teachers just like Phil. Uh-huh. And I got a chance to help them prepare for after education. And so I really loved that work, and I would never say no. And I had clients, just literally all over the world, and I traveled a lot. And I think I just wore my body down to a point where it just reacted that day. It just completely said, okay, enough. And my heart stopped beating, and I stopped breathing. My organs released. And when I did revive, I remember thinking, I didn't know where I was. I lost that time. And to hear the doctor say, Tanya, you're really sick. You're 38 years old. Your body's operating like a 60-some-year-old person. Your body's worn out. Your heart is worn out. And all of these things are going to have to happen. I just felt so devastated. And for me, it was sickness and a near-death experience. For other people, it's divorce. It's the loss of a child. It's the loss of a job that they love. But in that moment, when I got that news, it's like my heart had naturally stopped, my mind and my emotions got stuck right there. in that pain. And so I lived like that for, like I said, nearly 7 years in a cloud. I lived in a cloud.
Tanya, where did you find a thread? And first of all, I want to tell you that you just gave me the link I was mentioning in the beginning of the show. I never put guests together because of a common topic. And who would ever say, wow, Bonnie, Phil T. Maycomber is talking about Common Core and the Pact, and Tanya Ware is talking about her voice and her collapse and coming back. And you just gave it to me. You were selling retirement planning for teachers. So we have a very basic link here. I didn't even know that
right.
until you said it. I didn't even read that. So that's one of the links. The other, obviously, is passion and wanting to help people. So, Tanya, let's talk about where did you find – we have to mention how one thing you heard LL Cool J – I think he is pretty cool as an actor and a host and everything. I happen to be a big fan. What did he say? Was it on TV? You heard it. You wrote it down. I know. What did he say that brought you out of that dark, dark place you were in for so long? Tell me.
So I was watching an interview one day. My husband called me upstairs. He said, Tanya, come and watch this interview. I think you'll love this, because he knew I really, really liked LL Cool J from NCIS Los Angeles. And it's one of my favorite shows. So I walked upstairs, and LL Cool J was interviewing with Oprah Winfrey. And she said to him, so what do you do about all of the things that you had hoped to accomplish by this point in your life that you haven't accomplished yet? And he kind of turned his head to the side and smiled at her, and he said, well, dreams don't have deadlines. And that one phrase hit me. It was kind of like a laser beam. I remember going, oh, my God. I reached over to the right and grabbed my iPhone, and I recorded that phrase. And for a long time, I listened to it over and over and over. But what I realized in that moment was that the reason why I lived nearly 7 years in depression was because I was grieving the life that I thought I should have, and I was losing the life that I did have. And so that day, I received the spark that I needed to just reassess my life. I remember having a moment where I thought, I can't change what the doctors are saying, and I cannot change what has happened in the past, but I can make some kind of baby step or do something today toward the life that I desire to have. And that's when I started journaling and writing, and the book, the kind of my thoughts turned into this book, Life is Your Song, Discover Your Voice. And I chose that title because even if you don't sing or you're not a musician, just like songs have highs and lows and texture and crescendos, and, you know, music can make you happy, sad, or move you, life is the same way. There are highs and lows to life, texture. There are things that make you happy, things that make you sad. And I just want to really help people move past that place that has so injured them in their soul that they've stopped living, and they're grieving every day the person that left them, the marriage that failed, the child that was lost, the life that was lost, and they're forgetting that they're alive and breathing, and there's something they can do today to make the life that they live better and the people that they live with better. And so that's my passion.
I hear it loud and clear, and I have to tell you there's a second part to LL Cool J's quote, and he is credited with this, Tanya. I love to look up quotes. I host and produce right now 10 different business radio series on World Talk Radio, and I always ask my guests, and these are serious business topics, I ask my guests to send me an inspirational quote that we can relate to the topic, as heavy duty as the business topic may be. And so I'm always interested in quotes and attributions. I'm going to just read the rest of it, if you don't mind. The quote is, dreams don't have deadlines. And then it goes on, I'm thinking of doing bigger and better things and having more fun with it. And fun was something you, Tanya, where you didn't even know the meaning of the word anymore. You were just in the middle of it for almost 7 years. So let's talk a little bit about your book. I love the quote, and I love that in addition to being cool and wearing cool hats and hosting all kinds of TV specials and being the cool guy, in addition to to the rest of the team on NCIS Los Angeles, LL Cool J has inspired you. I love that you put that in your book. Now, I'm going to read just a couple of chapter headers here. I was very intrigued with your book. It's a workbook, everybody. It's just a workbook. It's very cool. You can have plenty of space in here to write in. And Tanya challenges the reader. For example, she talks about closing emotional doors way back in the book. Here are five emotional doors I will close and continue to close on today. So she writes it as though you were writing it yourself. It's not you. She's talking to you in your voice. Here are five desires I will dream about today. Very powerful way you did this. Here are five actions I will take to end the negative cycles in my life. Here are five positive thoughts I will write down and meditate on daily. Very, very interesting, Tanya. Did you make that?
Thank you.
Did you make that choice Did you make that choice on purpose, or was that just when you were thinking who would be using your book? How did that come about?
Well, I did that on purpose because one of the authors that I love so much is Jack Canfield, and he's the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And one of the things I heard him say once was, every day you should commit to five actions to make your life the life you desire that it become. And so I purposely used that thought process when writing my book and speaking to the reader, because I want to, it kind of goes back to what Phil said, I want to motivate you, but I also want to inspire you. And I want to get you thinking and stretch you and challenge you to make a decision on the spot that these five things I will do today, or these five thoughts I will meditate on today, or these five actions I will complete today, because we really don't have to live down, sad, depressed, oppressed, worried, fearful, angry anymore. Yes, life has been difficult for me, but I have a 13-year-old and a 5-year-old who love me unconditionally. What I had to do was to kind of shut everything out for a moment, and just like a computer that gets stuck, you have to turn it off and turn it back on. I just kind of had to reset my emotions and reset my life and stop worrying about what I didn't have and focus more on what I did have. And so those actions in the book are dynamic. I mean, when I get feedback from people who have this book and read the book, they're just like, it transformed me. It's also a very short book, because after being a shut-in for nearly 7 years, I have no patience for anything that's very, very long. I'm working on that. But
touché.
I've felt stuck for so long.
Sure. I just want to read a couple of the chapter headers here. I read some of the exercises. I just want people to know these are just one-page chapters. Reboot, change, trust, stop, recognize, think, write, create, live. I'm reading the 10 from the first chapter, reclaim. That's the first part. And the three chapters of the book are reset your inner compass. I just read those. Then chapter number 2, the second section, is understand your true identity, with true in quotes. And number 3 is find your place in the world. Tanya, before we bring in Phil for in just about a minute and a half here, Phil, I'm going to ask you to chat with Tanya. But Tanya, you say your life's lyrics. Do you tell people, do you advise people when you coach in terms of rebooting their life, do you tell them to write a song or write lyrics for their life, or is that just a metaphor?
It's really a metaphor, and this is what I help people understand when I coach them, because I do coach and speak and do workshops for events and organizations. But what I realized when I lived those 7 years in the cloud of depression, being sad every day, being angry, being pitiful and taking pity, was that I was, the way I lived my life and the way I responded to things created a lyric for me. And so the way we live, how we respond to traumatic experiences, the way we treat other people, and the way we live our lives creates a life song for us. And, you know, when you go to a home-going service or a funeral, a person stands up and tells you about that person and how they impacted their lives. And I now live every day with that thought in mind. If I'm not here tomorrow, what do I want Bonnie or Phil to say about me? I want them to say she was passionate, that she went through difficult things, but she didn't stay down, that she used her energy to make other lives better. I want my life song, my life's lyrics to be good things, to be positive things, and we can do that. It doesn't really matter what you've been through and how bad it's been. You have the power and the ability to make a change today. And it's not a lot that you got to do. You just got to start somewhere, and from there, you get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Just make up your mind. Great message, and I love the way you simplified it. You know what they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, and that's what your book is about. We have
yes.
to invite Phil.
Yes.
Phil Maycumber, you've been waiting so patiently, my dear, in the wings. I know you'd love to talk to Tanya. So, Phil, why don't you reflect or ask any questions about what Tanya has shared? Go ahead, Phil.
Tanya, this is just a simply amazing story, and I love how you said about you needed to reboot yourself and rebound,
mm-hmm.
because I think that, like, one of your messages is really not just using your IQ, so to speak, but using your EQ, your emotional quotient, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, too, mm-hmm. am a fan of the Chicken Soup for the Soul guys, and I don't know if you read Jack Canfield's book, The Success Principles, but
yes.
you talk. Did you read that? Yeah, it's like one thing that I remember from that book, and it's really what you're talking about here, is he does this math equation called E plus R equals O. It's hero without the H, and it's about event plus response equals outcome. And it sounds as
right.
if what you're saying here is, you know, you can't control life events, right? And
right.
If you want to affect the outcome, you have to control your response. And so
right.
I guess what I'd love to ask you is, if you had to give somebody like one success strategy for managing their emotions, what would it be?
I think it would be the concept in my book called Accept, which helps them kind of understand that it's okay for you to accept the fact that things are different, that things will be different, but also accept the fact that they don't have to stay that way. And so accept the fact that you're powerful, accept the fact that you have options, and that there is a great champion on the inside of you that's waiting to be cultivated, and gifts that are waiting to be mined and developed. If you can just ever break out of focusing on the fact that things are bad here, they can be great elsewhere. And, you know, I have spent just my last 2 years of, you know, just every day looking for opportunities to help people realize that you can accept saying no. You can accept mm-hmm. saying, I'll change. You can accept saying, I'll embrace this, or I won't do this, or I will do this, that we have that power within us to make a decision that the life we live now doesn't have to be the life we live tomorrow, and it all starts with our response. And so that one of the greatest things I learned from that quote LL Cool J spoke was, I can do something about the life that I live, and I can make my life as great as I want it to be. I can make my life song as beautiful as I want it to be. And I've now, instead of waking up and my daily meditation being death, my daily meditation is all the great things that are to come, not just tomorrow, but right here, right now. And I'm so
Lovely.
Excited about it.
Tanya, have you told LL Cool J? Have you written to him and told him what a difference he made in your life, or sent him a copy of your book?
Actually, I did, and he wants to do an event with me. We're hoping to organize it and plan it for next year, a Life is Your Song concert and event. Yeah.
Mazel tov. Congratulations. That is exciting. I didn't know the answer. I just took a chance and asked, and hope that you would accept my question. Very interesting. By the way, it's time for us to quickly do what's next for you. And Tanya, you just told us what's next for you. You're going to do an event in 2016 with LL Cool J. How cool is that? What else is on the plate for you? I'm going to give you just about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Tanya, because I want to make room for Phil. So go ahead, Tanya. What else is next for
you?
Yes, so I'm...
I've made contact with his organization, and we're going to work on that. We're hoping to do that in 2016 or beyond. I'm also doing a Wednesday night church tour where I kind of take this message to local Bible studies and talk to churches about that, and I'm also doing a lot of great coaching.
Wonderful. Congratulations. Keep up the good work. Phil T. Maycumber, you got 30 seconds. Tell me what's next for you, Phil.
Well, I'm starting to research what would be involved in creating a national certification program in which there'd be a certified trainer of the PACT in each of the 50 states, and then eventually I'd like to see this national training model expand to include a group of global certified trainers of the PACT, because we're starting to see use of the PACT outside of the U.S., in parts of Canada, in Australia, in Italy, and also, I've started working on book number 2 in my series, with the focus of it being on bridging the gap, and also on donating 50% of the profits to ovarian cancer research to honor my mom.
Wonderful. Shout out to your mom in absentia. And ladies, I have to ask you, we didn't rehearse this, I've got the music on in the background, Phil T. Maycumber and Tanya Ware, take a deep breath, ladies. We're going to do a mwah shout out to the world, sending love and reboot wishes, and just figure it out because you can. That's our message today. So, Phil and Tanya, deep breaths and see if you can hold it longer than I can. Here we go. It's a mwah. Yeah. More. Come on. We're out of time. Ladies, thank you so much. Phil and Tanya, such
thank
a pleasure
you.
To be with
thank
you.
You.
All
Bonnie.
The best. True pleasure. Both of you. Hugs and kisses to both. Tanya, you take care of yourself. Phil, you take care of those kids.
Thank
I'm
you.
Counting on you.
Too.
Everybody else.
Thank you.
Next week right here on Read My Lips. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Want internet that works whenever you need it? Xfinity Internet delivers reliably fast speeds, even during peak hours when everyone is online at the same time. Switch to Xfinity TV, Internet, and voice for only $30 each a month for 12 months when you bundle all three. Visit Xfinity.com today. Offer ends 11/115. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees include broadcast TV fee and RSN fee extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. 2-year term agreement required. Bill will reflect bundle charge of $89.99 a month for 12 months.